magic constant? If we go back, what was the magic constant?
34.
34.
Guys, can you please quiet down?
So every row, every column, and every diagonal have to add up to 34. So I'll write this magic constant right here, just so we know. Now, does anybody have any ideas where we should start? Any ideas? Yes, Christian?
The first, yeah, top row.
The first top row. That could be a place to start, but any other ideas? Else? Why do we want to start there? Right, there's already three. There's only one piece that we don't know. So if we did that, remember, we want to make sure that all these add up to 34. Well, what we have adds up to 27, right? So what does that mean that blank square has to be? Yes, 7. Okay, now that we have that piece, it just all starts flowing, right? What column row or diagonal do you think we should do next? Yeah? 2, 11, 7. Okay. And so 2 plus 11, 13, 7, 20. 14. Excellent. And the bottom one, right. 15, 14.
4.
Four.
That's so cool.
4.
4.
Excellent. Now, which one do you think we do next? Who haven't asked? Yep. Yes, the one going up and down, which is 5. Great. And it just keeps going. Next one. The next one would be here, right? 10 plus 5, 15 plus 11, 26. So that means
8.
That is a great addition. And which row, column, or diagonal do you think we should do next? Kevin? Second column?
Third.
I meant fourth.
Fourth column, okay. So 8 plus 12, 20, 21. So what does that mean that this top piece? Yeah, Kevin? 13, awesome. And the next piece, which one do you think we should do? Yep, the third row, and what do we have? We have 12 plus 7, 19 plus 9, 28. So we needed to add to 34, so what do we need to add to 28? 6, right. And our final one. Now, any ideas how we can come up with that final one? If without even looking, remember the numbers have to be 1 through 16, right?
3.
Yes, 3 is the number. 3 is the number we haven't used yet. Okay. All right, now the last. Oh, we're gonna take this one up now. The last one is really tricky because they don't give you the magic constant, right? But they do give you the fact that it has to be numbers from negative integers from negative 3 to 5. So probably a good way to start is the list of numbers that we have available to us. So what numbers haven't we used in this magic square? From the negative 3 to 5. We have minus 2, yep. Any other ones?
1.
Yep.
3, 4, 5, 6.
It's from negative 3 to 5. Okay. So where do you think we should start? Yep.
I don't know what that constant number is.
We don't know what the constant is, right? That's where that question mark is for. So we don't know it. So we have to figure that out as well. But where do you think we should start? We know that all the rows, columns, and main diagonals have to add up to one value. So where do you think we should start? Which square? Yeah?
The one in the corner?
Yes, the top corner. Now, what we have to do is we have to figure out which values are going there. Well, how can we do that? Well, if we put a negative 2 in there, what is this row going to equal? Negative 3, right? And if we put a negative 2 in here, what's this row going to equal? I mean, this column going to equal?
Negative 3.
Negative 3. Oh. But does that mean, but if we tried all those numbers, it would work for each one.
Yeah.
So which square do we have to use to figure this out?
The diagonal one.
Yeah, the middle one. The middle one determines if this will work. Because remember, if we put in a number here, That means we should be able to get this number here. So does anyone have any ideas to try? So let's try negative 2 to start. Okay, negative 2, if we put that in here, so we know that any value of these we're going to put in here will be equal to constant. But it's this square that's going to determine it. So if we try negative 2, this row is going to be negative 3, and this row is going to be negative 3. But is there any value we can add to this square, or put in this square, this number, that'll give us negative 3? That's what I meant to say, I got mixed up. Is there any value that's left if we use negative 2?
No.
No. If we try 1, what are we going to get? Well, we're going to get 0. Is there any value we can put in here? Negative 2, right? But if we tried that, okay, that's 1, and we put in negative 2, all right, so our magic constant would have to be 0. So we'll have, okay. And okay, so all our constants have to be 0. It won't work, why? Our value would be, sorry, I had a negative, what did I put, 1 here and negative 2. The only value which would give us 0 here would be 1, but we've already used 1, so we can't do it. So we have to try a different number. Any ideas?
No.
Yeah. 3? Do you want to take over?
Sure. If we put 3 in this corner, well, if we go ahead and do that, then our constant's going to be positive 2, right? Because if we add this row, it'd be positive 2. So what would we need in this row? Another 0. What we would need. Again, doesn't work. We run into another problem here.
So,
I
want
to
randomly guess.
4. Let's try 4. Okay, so what's our magic constant if we use 4?
3. So what we'll go here then? You can tell me when we go in the middle.
1.
1. That's right.
Yeah, I'm smart.
Okay. However, we need a magic constant of 3, right? So for this column here, we'd have to put 2, or sorry, we'd have to put 5, which still works. What about this row? What would we have to put here? Positive 3 would have to go here. That is the correct answer.
Yes!
Correct answer.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. What I have here is a little challenge for you guys. It's a little
I've done that.
Yeah. Done that? Okay. Well, I'll pass the tennis around as we go, okay?
Okay.
Right now I'm going to pass around some toothpicks. All right. Please don't use these on your teeth. They're not very good toothpicks. I got the cheapest ones I can find. So what we have is a series of, you're going to be given a number of toothpicks, and I'd like you to arrange them in a triangle, okay? Remember, you can't have a curved line, and a triangle has 3 points. And you use different numbers of toothpicks to make different triangles, okay? And once you figured one out, sketch one, okay? If I were to do an example, I'll do the easiest one. If you were to make a sketch a triangle with these toothpicks if you're using 3, well, you just rearrange and try toothpicks like this. Thank you. And those are side lengths. Okay, if you can't get one, or you have trouble, just move on to the next. Who got one? Who made a triangle out of 4 toothpicks? You actually can't make it out of 4, okay? We'll explain why. It has something to do with the triangle inequality we'll explain for a sec. But with 5, did anyone make 1 out of 5?
Yeah.
What did it look like? What were the sides?
There was like 2 at the bottom, 1 at the bottom, 2 at the bottom, 1 at the bottom, 2 at the bottom, 1 at the bottom, 2, 1.
All right, let's try one person at a time instead of all yelling at once.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, you have the 4.
You do 2 at the bottom.
Okay.
And then you go 2. Attach it with 1 more.
Right, so the sides would be 2, 2, and 1, and it would look something like...
Or you could
have an isosceles. Okay, that would be an isosceles triangle, which you all know. Did anyone try it with 6?
I did.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
2 on the bottom, 2 on the left, 2 on the right.
All the sides were 2, and that was an equilateral. I'm going to skip 7, 8, and 9 because we're running a bit behind time. If you want to try those on your own, that would be good. And we'll have.
Did you 4?
Okay, so what we're going to talk about now, the reason we can't do 4 is something called the triangle inequality. And all the triangle inequality is the fact that if you have the sum of two side lengths has to be greater than the third, okay? So if we were to look at 4, what are the side lengths you guys came up with, right? You had 1, 1, and 2. But this doesn't obey the triangle inequality because if we add 1 plus 1, okay, is that going to be greater than the third side, 2? Is it going to be greater? No, it's going to be equal. So you can't have a triangle with make out of 4 toothpicks. Now, the triangle inequality, if we were to make it in very general terms for this triangle, all it says is if you have, take side B plus C, it has to be greater than A. The triangle inequality has to hold for all sides, okay? So we have to list out the possibilities. So that means A plus B has to be greater than which side? C. And A plus C has to be greater than which side? B. Okay. Now the triangle inequality, it pops up all over the place. Alright, I saw it in grade 8, and then I ignored it for a while, and then bam, it hit me again once I got to university, okay? It pops up a lot. Are you guys still ready?
Yes.
Okay, so we have a little problem which we're going to do together next. Okay, so a triangle has one side length of 4 and another side length of 7, okay? So we have a triangle. I'm going to draw one in.
Don't touch mine.
Okay. And we know that one side length is not going to be perfectly accurate because this looks like an equilateral, but I'm just going to use this to help us. Okay. Christian, you got to be careful when you bump that thing. Every time you bump it, I have to reset it.
Okay.
So just be careful. Okay, so let's go back to this problem. So we have a triangle. This is a very rough sketch. It looks something like this. Alright, and we want to find out what is the largest possible integer length of the third side. Okay, so we'll label it third side x. So any ideas where we should start? Yeah?
We can add up the 7 and 4.
Yeah, we can add up the 7 and 4. Alright, and what do we know about the 7 and 4? What do they have to be greater than?
7?
Yeah? Yeah, the third length. They have to be greater than x. And we also know that these two sides have to be greater than the 7. So x plus 4 has to be greater than 7. And we also have to know that x plus 7 has to be greater than 4. So what does this indicate? Well, this means that x has to be less than 11. This is just an inequality. And what does this mean about x here? What value must x be greater than? 3. How'd you come up with that?
Because 3 plus 4 is 7, and it has to be greater than 3.
Exactly. Since x plus 4 has to be greater than 7, well, if x was 3, we'd get 7, so we have to have a number greater than that. You can actually treat that just like an equal sign, and subtract 4 from both sides, and it will give you actually x is greater than 4 minus, or 7 minus 4, which is 3. So x has to be greater than 3. And with this side, what does x have to be greater than? If we did the same thing, any ideas? What value does the x have to be greater than? Any ideas? Well, if we subtracted 7 from both sides, we'd just be left with x here, and on this side, so what am I, I'll write down what I'm saying. We want to isolate for x like if it was an equation. You can do that with inequalities.
I did this with the two.
So that means these will cancel each other out and we'll do 0. So just the x has to be greater than negative 3. So we know this about the side length. So let's go to another slide. this is what I wanted to do. So
I was writing that.
I'm sorry. I know I moved really quickly, and I'm sorry some of you guys, I read a lot of the surveys and I realized I moved really quickly through these lessons, but there's just a lot of material I want to get covered through. So this will all be on the internet if you miss it, okay? And it'll be all on the web. So let's consider here. So actually I'll stay on this slide for those of you who are still working. So I'm gonna move everything over here. So what possible values could we have for x? We know that x has to be less than 11 and greater than 3 and greater than negative 3. So if we were to draw a number line, x has to be greater than negative 3, has to be greater than 3, and it has to be less than 11. So what are possible values that x could be, integer values for x? Any ideas? We'll pick a number, see if it obeys these inequalities. Yep.
5.
5 would be a possible value for x. Any other possible values? Yep. 4. Yep. Now, where are we getting these numbers? Well, let's look. We have to find numbers that are greater than, less than 11, but greater than 3 and greater than negative 3. Okay? So we're looking for numbers in this range. All right? So let's list off all the integers, yeah?
7.
7, yeah.
Negative 7.
6 is also in there. 8.
9.
9. And 10. Those are all the possible values that x could take. And now that we've listed them all out, it's easy to pick out which one's the largest, right?
Uh-huh.
So which is, what is the largest possible?
10.
Yes, 10, thank you. And we listed them all out down here, so I'll just put them aside. Triangle inequality, don't try to remember that formula. Just remember the idea that with a triangle, two of the sides have to be greater than the third side. That's all you should remember, okay? And it's not as hard as just memorizing formulas. Okay, now I'm gonna move to the next slide. If there's any objections. Okay? Now, let me put up the banner. Okay. So we're going to talk about the Pythagorean theorem. I've been mentioning this for a while now. Does anyone know what the Pythagorean theorem is?
No.
In the back, yep.
On a right angle triangle, the two lines that make up the square angle, are labeled AB. So if one is squared and the other is squared, and they're both added, they add up to the third line squared.
Yeah, very good. And you often remember that it's this equation, A squared plus B squared is equal to C squared. I'm sure you've all heard that 1,000 times, or heard that a lot and had it drilled into your head.
No.
There's actually a much deeper explanation to the Pythagorean theorem. The Pythagorean theorem is actually that if you draw the sum of the areas of the squares on the legs, okay, I should probably mention that. If you have a right angle triangle here, the legs are the sides that are, what's the longest side called in a right angle triangle? Does anybody know? Or the side that's opposite the right angle, yeah? The hypotenuse, right? The longest side is called the hypotenuse. Okay? And these other sides, they have to call them the legs. Or they can be called the legs. So what the Pythagorean theorem says is the sum of the areas of squares drawn on the legs, all right? Added together, sum of the areas of the squares drawn on the legs is equal to the area of the square of the hypotenuse. And we'll see that in a actual picture and I'll visualize it. But for now, I'm gonna do a bit. We're gonna label these. We're gonna let A and B represent the length of the legs. And we're gonna let C represent the length of the hypotenuse. And I'm just gonna shorten it to HYP. Right? And so if we were to label it here, on this right angle triangle, it would be A, B, and C. And for comfort's sake, I'm going to label these as 1, and this is angle 2. So I'm actually going to draw this up here for a second so you guys can have it while we move through the other slides, because it'll be helpful.
It is helpful.
And I'll draw it on the other side. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to actually prove the Pythagorean theorem, okay? And we're going to do some neat stuff with the smart board while doing it, which I wouldn't be able to do as well with the blackboard. Now, I'm going to move to the next slide. Once again, all these will be online. Okay? Now, so what does this mean? Well, Pythagorean theorem, if I was to draw this, well, I have a square on this side, okay? And that's on the one of the legs and a square on the other legs. What it means is these two squares, when they add up, their areas are going to equal the area of this shape. But, quick question, if we're still using the same triangle we had before, labeled A, B, C, what would be the area of this square?
800.
Yep. No, the area of this square. We know that this side length is A, and we know the square, we know that every side is equal. So what would the area be?
A squared,
right. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah. Probably.
And this would be B squared, right? Because this side length is B. And this large one, which we use to represent this side length by C, would be C squared. Okay? Now, visually, if I were to rearrange these squares, what it actually means is if I take the area of this square, I take this square, they should add up to equal this. This is the idea I'm trying to get. And we're going to prove that. We're going to take these squares, rearrange them and play with them, and show that they actually equal this square. Okay? Next slide. Don't worry about the government, but for now, I actually have a little problem. I said we do a Chuck Norris question, right?
What?
So, Chuck Norris is finished with being an action star, okay? And he's decided to become a tightrope walker. For his first daring feat, he plans to walk from building A, which is 28 meters tall, to building B, which is 23 meters tall. The buildings are 12 meters apart at the point where Chuck Norris plans to cross. Now, assuming the rope is extremely tight, meaning it's a straight line and it's not curved, okay, how long a rope does Chuck Norris need? Okay, does anybody have any ideas to start?
12 meters.
Well, what should we do with this diagram? I've given you a diagram. Probably a good idea to fill in the information, right? So, actually, before I go, I should mention something. The Pythagorean theorem, even though I showed you the word definition and the squares,
A squared plus B squared.
You should realize that it can be written in this formula or equation, or written in this equation, and we'll be using that here. Now, so let's fill in the information. We know that this building here is 28 meters tall. This building here is
23.
This is 12. And I'm going to use one more line.
Okay,
sorry. From here, we're trying to find that distance, okay? Now, let's start filling in the information. We know that this is 28. Right? We know that this distance is 12. And we know that this distance is 23. What do you think we should use to solve this? Any ideas just from what we've done before, earlier, on earlier slides?
We could move the 12-meter
through this side?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
And
figure out, like, we can see the triangle, sort of.
Yeah, we can sort of see the triangle. Now, we have to make an assumption here that the buildings are actually perpendicular and they're parallel to each other. They're not crooked like the Leaning Tower, right? Right? They're actually straight. So we know what we have here is we're going to have this triangle. We're going to move this up. And we're going to notice that they're a triangle. Well, we know this side, but we need another side in order to use the Pythagorean theorem, or else we have two unknowns. Yep?
We could subtract 23
from 28 to find that's exactly it. We actually know this length, because all this length is the difference between the height of this building and the height of this building, which is
5 meters.
So And if you look, we have our triangle right here. And we'll just use x. We'll use x to label the length of this rope. So if we were to use Pythagorean theorem, what would we get?
13,
but let's do an equation with it. I know some of you saw it right away, but for those who didn't, we'll do it step by step. So we'll apply the Pythagorean theorem. So the Pythagorean theorem means we're going to use the fact that this length squared plus this length squared is equal to this x length squared. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to expand that out, 25
plus 144 equals 169
by
the square root of 169.
Okay, so then we're going to add these two. Quick question. Some of you said 13 was a possible value. But is there any other value for x that would satisfy this equation?
13.1.
No. Any ideas? Any other possible values?
Just 13.
Pardon?
Just 36.
Just 13? Well, what if I put in negative 13 in there?
Yeah, that would work.
Why would that work?
Because a negative and a negative multiply equals positive.
Right, negative 13 times negative 13, well, it's negative times a negative, so it's going to be positive 169. But what's the problem with that? Why can't we use negative x, or negative 13 meters? Yeah, it doesn't make sense, right? A negative rope length. So we're just going to ignore that fact. We'll take the square root of both sides, okay? And x. Okay, and then we do it therefore. Now, back to the proof. All right, oh geez, that's the slide. That's why I gave myself. That'll all be online. It's all there. I'll put that out on the end, and you'll actually get a piece of paper. So, what do we want to prove? Well, again, we want to prove that these two squares the areas added up will equal that c squared, the area of that c squared, that yellow square. Okay, so where should we start? Well, let's start with this left side. Let's start with these two squares. Okay, well, we want to show that the area of these two is going to be the same. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually bring them together. Okay, just going to move this. Now, So we brought them together and we have this new shape. Now the trick is, we gotta find a way to put this original triangle we had within these squares. So what I mean by that, I wanna move this somewhere within here so that I can fit two of them. Okay? Does anybody have any ideas where we could place them?
Can you turn it?
We can turn it, yeah, we can turn it for sure. So any ideas where we should place those stars? Yep, Christian?
The blue one and you turn it.
We get the blue one and turn it that way? Which by you? So are you saying I should turn it like this, right?
Put the blue one on the blue one.
Okay, why don't you come up and move it? Actually, be careful. Actually, we'll stay down there because I don't want to bump the projector. Okay. You want me to move it? You tell me up and which way, left or right?
Right,
right there?
Yeah.
Okay, now since I didn't tilt it perfectly, oh, that's better. So that's one place to put it. Does anybody have any other ideas where we can fit the other triangle? Yeah?
Like, right up against it, corner.
Yeah, that is one other way we could do it. And it does fit, but, all right, I'm gonna place a little restriction on you though, okay? That is one way, but that actually doesn't really help us in this case, all right? But it's a very good idea. That's one way. When I thought about this first, I'm like, is there any other way we could do it? I didn't see this at first, but there's another way. You want to try the other way?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to place the restriction that you have to put it, some of that triangle has to be in that red square.
Well, you could make it like
Horizontal again. Okay, I'll move it again. Oops. All right.
Now, if you like put it right up against the edge, left edge,
and
the.
Raise it all the way here.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Now it fits in. That's perfect. Now, why do these triangles fit in here? Will this sideline fit in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, why? Well, what was the original sideline of our of this new shape we made? Actually, that's not the one I want. What was the distance from here to here originally? Well, we have this side, which is A, this side, which is B, so
yeah.
It would be A plus B. And these triangles, well, this side had a length B, and this side had a length A, so they fit. Right? Now, let's go to the next. That's exactly what I want. Now, next slide. Okay, so now we've done that. Now, I'm not going to, okay. Now, what I'd like to do is, do we know any other angles within this this shape? In particular, do we know anything about angle 1 plus angle 2?
Oh, they're right angle.
They are a right angle. There's a different word we use. Angle 1 plus angle 2 is equal to what?
It's a complementary.
It's a complementary angle, right? It's equal to 90 degrees. Now, how do we know that? Well, if we go back to our original triangle, I'm going to do this on the board because I have more space. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Okay. We have angle 1 plus angle 2, okay? We also have, let's slow down. I'm jumping ahead, all right? Now, what do we know about the sum of the interior angles of a triangle? What do they add up to? Yep. 180 degrees. Now, so what does that mean? Angle 1 plus angle 2, and what's this indicate?
90
degrees. Angle 1 plus angle 2 plus 90 degrees is equal to 180. And subtract 90 from both sides to isolate for angle 1 and angle 2. We're going to get left with angle 1 plus angle 2.
How about the answer?
Is equal to, should we try it all together?
90.
A little more, yeah. So we know that angle 1 plus angle 2 is equal to 90 degrees. So, is there any other angles we can fill in here? Well, we know that this corner here is a square. All right, this corner is part of a square, so it's 90 degrees. So what does that mean that this distance right here is? That angle. What's that angle? Yeah?
45.
No, we don't know its value. If we know that angle 1, I'll write that down here. Angle 1 plus angle 2 is equal to 90 degrees. What does that mean that this angle right here is?
90 degrees. Acute.
Acute is one way to describe it, Ruben. Not one or two. Okay, let's think about this. If I call this value angle, actually let's try a different way of looking. Do you guys remember those parallel line patterns?
Yeah.
Yeah? If I were to draw, okay, we know that these two lines are parallel, right? Okay, does anyone see any pattern we could use to find this angle? Yeah?
Angle,
Anyone else want to give a shot? I'll give you a hint. Can you find the Z pattern in there?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
The arrow line on the top, and then the line that
has the right. So what does the Z pattern say?
It's backwards Z.
That, like, that angle and that top angle are equal.
So what does that mean that this angle right here is equal to? What's this angle equal to? It's angle 2, right? So that means this angle is angle 2 as well. Okay. All right. Now what about this angle right here? Angle 1, right? We can use that pattern again. Or we could, well, the fact I was trying to get to earlier was the fact that these two have to add up to 90 And we know that angle 1 plus angle 2 is equal to 90. And since we have angle 2 there, the other piece has to be angle 1. Okay? Fill those in there. Now, last question. What do you think this angle is going to be? Right here. Any ideas? Well, where do you think we should start figuring it out? Yep.
Angle 1 plus angle 2.
Angle 1 plus angle 2. Well, what do we have right here along this line? We have a straight line, right? And what's the measure of an angle on a straight line?
180.
180. So we know that this angle plus this angle, which I'll call angle
3.
We'll call it angle 3. I like angle 3.
180.
So what we have is angle 1 plus angle 3 plus angle 2 is equal to 180 degrees. Well, what do we know angle 1 plus angle 2 to be?
90 degrees.
90 degrees. So we can just replace them with 90 degrees. So what does that mean angle 3 must equal for this equation to be true? 90 degrees. So we actually have a right angle right there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to erase all this stuff because it's... Remember, all this will be online, okay?
Yes.
I just want you to listen. That's the main goal. Now, so we know that this is going to be 90. So we got a little sidetracked with figuring out all those angles. What were we originally trying to find? What were we originally trying to show? We were trying to show that these two squares are equal to something else, right? Angle to the yellow square, the C square. So is there any ideas? If we could maybe move these triangles,
Whoa.
Do you think we could move them in a way that we could get that C square?
Yeah.
Yeah? Any ideas on how to move? Who hasn't answered for me yet? Who wants to help me out? I got a lot of the same hands. Anyone want to take a stab?
Yes, sir.
Where do you want to move it? You want to move? I'll let you move one of the triangles. Where do you think we could move it so that we could get that C square? That C square, yeah. You don't know? Well, okay, well, let's think about this. Yeah? Where do you think? Okay, come on up, sure. Come on up. Well, that's because you're so close to my
birthday.
Okay, move one. So you get to move one, one of the triangles. Which one do you want to move? Okay, where do you want to move? Okay, so just push down and drag. Oh, stay consistent. Perfect. That's perfect. I like that spot. You guys like that spot?
Yes.
Okay, so we got that spot. And Christian, you want to come up and do the last one?
Crawl under.
Wait. Christian, do you want to come up? Yes or no? No? Okay. All right. Elizabeth, here, why don't you come up and try it?
I don't want to do it again.
It actually worked, right?
Yeah.
Turn.
Oh my gosh!
Now that looks like our
square.
C square, right?
It's diamond.
Now let's go to the next slide and we'll be able to work with that slide. So we've seen something like this before, right? And if we kept this, this actually. Right? We found those earlier. Now, for this to be a square, what are the proper two properties of a square? Yes, and, oh, well, that's someone else. What's another property of a square, other than all the sides have to be equal? It has to do with the corners. They're all right angles. They're all 90 degrees. So, question. What is this side like? This side right here. Well, it's the longest side of the triangle, right? And we call them the hypotenuse, and we use C to label that side. And that's the longest side here, too. And if we had those triangles back originally where they were, this would also be side C. Okay, now here's the next question. All right? We have to check that it's 90 degrees. So what other figure has all its side lengths equal? Yep. An equilateral triangle. What other quadrilateral, let me rephrase that, has all its sides equal? Yep.
You had to tell it all, dude.
Okay. All right. He said it's a rhombus, right? But what do we know here? Well, we want to show that each of the angles are 90 degrees, right? Well, we know that this side, this angle is just angle 1 plus angle 2. And what do we know about angle 1 plus angle 2? What do they add up to? 90 degrees. So this corner is 90 degrees. This corner is?
90 degrees.
This corner is? 91. So we have a square, and this is actually
a diamond.
Z squared. And that's what we wanted to prove. Now, we've actually proved it with this, and all this will be online for you. Okay? And it explains it in steps. Right? So if you didn't get all of it, you can fill it in. Now, actually, there's one thing I mentioned earlier. We just proved it, and at the end of the proof, they use some wording or a little notation thing. In the past, we just put a little square to indicate the end of the proof. But there's actually something else. They mentioned it in Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah?
Therefore?
Well, not a therefore statement. This is something completely new. It's, you just indicate that you proved it and it's done. If you just write QED in some cases. That's what we use, I used to do in high school. QED. Now, what does QED mean? Well, QED is actually Latin. And it stands for, I don't know it off the top of my head, quod erat demonstratum. Okay, and all it means is to which was to be proved. And it's something, it's a little notation. That's a terrible view, Mike.
Yeah, it
is.
It looks like red.
All right, I think my smartboard's been shifted. But if you actually, mentioned that in
I didn't touch it this time.
Okay, that was
good. Hey, you.
Last time
it's
for you.
Just close it.
It can't because it's off-centered?
I didn't touch it this time.
Oh, I have to finish this up. Yeah, it's an annoying
big circle.
They are awesome, and they allowed us to do some neat stuff with that proof. But there's also...
Okay, good.
And so, actually I have one more problem, and then we're going to work on the problem sets. Okay? All right, next slide. So a classroom is the following dimensions. 11 meters by 17 meters by 3 meters. What is the distance from one corner of the floor to the other corner on the ceiling diagonal to the starting corner? So I mean from that corner to that corner. Now there's a couple things we should mention first, okay? If we were to look at this corner, I can erase this. Actually, I'll use the other side. If we were to look at this corner, okay, zoomed out each corner in a classroom, we'd assume that what's the angle between each, it's a rectangular prism, right? So this angle would be 90 degrees, and this angle would be 90 degrees. This angle would be 90 degrees. Now that's an important thing to note here. So now we want to find this distance. Does anybody have any ideas where we should start? Any ideas? Yeah, Ruben? I can't hear Ruben.
We could like tilt the diagram so it's two dimensional, like seen from the top.
Okay, so you're saying we should, you want to see it in two dimensions, right? Well, that's a really good idea. Alright, so if we looked at it in two dimensions, if we looked at it just from the top, we'd have something like this, right? And what would our diagonal look like? It would just be, we'd only see this. Right? And what do we know about this? Well, these are actually, even though they're slanted, right angles. So, we can solve that. We can solve this length, right? I'll call this length W. We can solve that length, right? We know what this side is, right? What's this side length? This is a top view, all right? That's it.
Time.
Okay? The side length is...
Break.
11. After this problem, we'll have a break, okay?
Yes.
And this side length here is... So we can apply the Pythagorean theorem here, right? So 11 meters. Now you guys are all great at multiplying two numbers in the teens, right?
No.
Yeah. No?
Yes.
I hope you're good at it. That's a whole section in Jeopardy.
Of course.
Oh. We're going to play Jeopardy.
Yes.
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 But we have to finish this prompt first, then we're going to go on break. So I'm going to need everybody's attention and help. So, if we don't get through this problem, we might not have enough time for Jeopardy. Okay, so we set it up here. So 11 squared is
132.
And 17 squared is. We'll do that trick. We add the units from one to the other. 240. 7 times 7 is?
49.
49 plus 240. Now we would actually want to square root, but actually that doesn't make it. It actually is easier to leave it just like this. So 121 plus 289 is? 410. So I'm going to start with the next, I'm going to move over to the next slide. So we found that distance, right? So we found that this part, okay, we found that W squared is equal to 4. Now, what is the problem? Well, that's only the distance from the base, from one diagonal, right? We want it from that side and then up. So, before we took a top view, does anybody have any ideas of what other view we could use?
Side view.
A side view. So if we had a side view, okay, I'm going to try drawing it like this. Oh, jeez. All right, I'm going to center it again. One last time. Probably had to do this way too much. Okay, if we took a side view again. Side view. Alright. Well, what do we know that this side length is if we had our side view? Yep. Well, let's go back to a cube, okay? We're looking at it from the side now, okay? So we're looking at actually this one. So what would that side be? 3 meters, right? Now, okay, and since we're looking at the side, remember we're going from this corner to that corner. But we're going along the diagonal, right? So what does that mean that this length is going to be? It's actually going to be W from before. Does everybody, I'm going to backtrack for a second. Does everybody see that? Why it was W? First we found this distance. Okay? Or we found that we said this was W. Okay? And we knew that this is also a right angle. So we found that this side length, and then from there we could find this side, or this side length. We actually just have to use the Pythagorean theorem twice. Does everybody see that, or I need more explanation?
I can see it.
Not really? Okay, well let's think about this. We were originally trying to find the length from here to here, right? And, well, that's pretty tough because it's a three-dimensional figure now, right? Just tough. So what we did is we broke it up. We first found the distance from here to here, right? And then we know that this is actually a right triangle just inside our cube. Okay, you can kind of see it. I'll draw it in.
Yep.
And we knew this side length, and we found this side length, so we can find our original length, which I'll just label this. Okay? Now let's go back to the next one. If you have any more problems, just wave me down during the break. So we're going to find this. All set. Now what do we know? Well, we can use the Pythagorean theorem again. This is also right angle. So it's W squared.
Plus
3z squared, because we're applying the Pythagorean theorem again. We know that w squared is 410. That's why I wanted to leave it like this. Because if we found what actually w was, it's not what we're concerned about. We're concerned about w squared. It's just a little trick to make it easier. And 3 meters squared is just 9. Okay? So z squared would just be equal to 419. And Z would approximately the 2 decimal places, yep.
Oh,
3.47, right? It would be so, therefore, the length from one quarter to the other top corner in that classroom we had would be approximately 20.47 meters.